Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast. Thank you so much for listening. This is a clip from my online academy that we do every week. I go live every week and answer the members' questions, and this is that. I wouldn't put it out if it wasn't helpful. Really, really good information in here. I know that's going to be super helpful and interesting for you guys to hear, talking about my warble and humping and all that stuff. It's a very, very interesting. So hope you guys enjoy this podcast. As always, thank you, thank you, thank you. Going on international tour, if you want to see and work with me in person, we're going to England, we're going to Australia, we're going to New Zealand and Seattle, Denver this weekend, and Ontario. So link and is in the description and show notes of all the tickets and information. Hope to see you guys on the road and enjoy the podcast. If you have a dog that is barking while you're gone and they're stressed out to a point where they won't take your Kong, they won't take the Popsicle, they won't take food, and let's say the bar is 10 out of 10. Again, you could do medication, but it might be overcorrecting, right? Like you're gone for an hour, the dog is now medicated for the rest of the day. And again, furthermore, is it sustainable? Are we going to medicate our dog every time? And so when we correct the dog with the e-collar on a vibration, for an example, or Dogtra makes an IQ vibe, which is essentially a bark collar for that only vibrates. And so the dog barks, and then the vibration happens, right? So the correct, so let's say 10 out of 10 is the stress organically with the dog. You leave, the dog hits the roof at 10. Salivating, spinning, again, cortisol, everything's firing. They think they're going to die. Life is over. 10 out of 10. You correct them with the bark collar for barking. It stops what they're doing. Maybe as a stress level. So we're not talking about actual pain because that's a very unnecessary conversation for what we're talking about. And it's really irrelevant to most dog training tools in general. But there is a measurement of stress, discomfort that will come into play here. And so let's say 10 out of 10 organically, e-collar gets turned on, the dog gets stressed, 5 out of 10. Holy crap, what was that? Where'd that come from? Their attention goes towards what they're doing, and it eliminates the external response of stress. Hey, help, 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 help. That's what the dog is barking. That's what the dog is doing when they're barking in the crate. Help, we're going to die. You're not coming back. They're scratching, scratching, scratching. Oh my God, oh my God. So again, you know, every dog is different. It could certainly be, in this case, it's a we're going to die thing. Like I'm super nervous. Like I at stake, I don't want it. Right? I can't handle this. So you correct the dog to say, knock it off. So we bring them down from a 10 out of 10 to a 5 out of 10 because we disrupted it. So then after the disruption, the dog goes, wait, what the heck was that? Right? So they went from, help, 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 what? Wait, what was that? What the heck? They stop barking and they're looking around. So now they're breathing better, right? They go, help, help. Brrr. Turns on again. What the? They stop barking. And slowly but surely, you know, and I've equated this to something very interesting that I've been doing in my own life, which is a part of meditation of grounding. And I know that sounds very confusing, but let's say all these negative or bad thoughts are spinning through your head and you go, oh, my feet are on the ground. You take a deep breath and you're like, okay, life is the world isn't ending right now. Everything might be okay. And a lot of times that's what like remote callers or even corrections in general can do, is they're going into this state of mind of stress. Let's just make it easy. Stress. They're stressed. They can't survive without you. The e-collar turns on, and then you're able to really decrease that stress. So then what happens is the dog goes, I don't like that vibration. And every time that I bark, the vibration happens. So eventually they calm themselves down. And oftentimes, in my experience, they curl up in the back of the crate and they fall asleep. Oftentimes. There is an opportunity or a likelihood that the dog also ignores the correction and then you have to find alternatives. But that's the reality of this is what dog owners are faced with. My dog is habitually barking, or in general, my dog is doing something that is so stressful for them. I hate to see him like this. I can't really deal, right? I don't like seeing my dog like this. And sometimes we have to use some sort of correction to disrupt their state of mind, to say, hey, chill out. It's like dumping a bucket of water on somebody who's freaking out. It's like, whoa, okay? So that would be my answer to what are you going to do if your dog is habitually barking in the crate and it's coming from a place of panic? And it sounds so again, in dog training, we talked about context. Without context, it sounds crazy. If my dog is panicking the crate, correct them. Wouldn't that make it worse? Wouldn't you like put the dog over the edge? It's possible, but it's unlikely for those reasons. And also, we're not talking about a remote collar correction from stimulation. We're talking about a vibration to disrupt the dog's state of mind, to think clearer, to make better decisions, to ultimately calm down. That's my answer. Goizia has a question. I'm having trouble teaching my dog the down command. Luring with a treat works up to the point where the dog decides he just doesn't care anymore. When I add leash pressure downward, I can see him almost stop breathing and want to disappear. Do you have any tips? I don't want to keep repeating the command, but in my opinion, negative reinforcement isn't working. The down command is something I don't put in my repertoire for that reason. Some dogs, it's very binary in my experience. Dogs are going to get it in one session, or they're going to not get it until 2 months later. I would agree, like if negative reinforcement under those circumstances aren't working, the best thing to do is to grind out your lures, like really, really, really exhaust all luring techniques to make it. And there's different ways, like people put them on boxes, so they're kind of like chest level with the dog and teaching them that lure. But that's been my experience. Dogs who do not do well, like I don't go to leash pressure with the down ever in the introduction. I will always go lure, 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 lure. And then maybe in the same session, if the dog is 90% there, I will do a little bit of leash pressure, or I'll just tap the dog's butt to put him down, because sometimes their butt will just stick up like a play bow, and I'll just push, yes, good down. And I'm like, geez, that took forever. So that's what I would recommend is just really taking your time, and just I would give you clarity and validation on the down that it happens. The down is a very slow-moving, sluggish command, unfortunately. Crystal, will you be doing a video on using e-collar on two dogs at the same time? Yes, we will. Congrats on the million. Thank you. Appreciate it. Hopefully you guys can hear me. I'm reading all these comments from before. So we're talking about the dog in the crate again. That's how That's how he gets 10 out of 10 stressed. Even has chewed a few water bowls in the crate because he's so stressed out. He was on meds for a while, and it was just like he would be completely out of it all day. Again, that's exactly what I was talking about. I'll definitely give that a try. I do worry that when he's so stressed, I leave the area, he would probably not care about the correction. Yeah, it's possible. So what you're doing right now is you're leaving the TV on, you're leaving the music on. So you're doing all the things you can. But Matt asks, how do you get a dog to lure to a toy when they are so driven but not with tug toys? How do you get a dog to lure to a toy when they are so good driven but not with tug toys? So if they're not food, okay. So how do you get a dog to lure with a... Can you just rephrase the question, Matt? Sorry, I'm having a hard time. It's probably just me. Anybody else has any questions, let me know. But back to Isabel's question about the crate. In order to really get a dog to a point where you can break through with them, those are the things that you have to really consider and go down, right? Like when your dog is so stressed beyond control, sometimes if you disrupt that, it's not even a correction really, it's a disruptment of snap out of it and start thinking about what you're doing and try to make better decisions and calm down. You guys have seen that a lot with corrections on even the collar, where dogs come in and they're just so habitually reactive to dogs. Like every single, they're conditioned to react. Just like when you tell a dog to sit, they put their butt on the ground, or you open a bag of chips and your dog is sitting there licking their chops. Some dogs who are reactive are so conditioned to, when they see a dog, they react. And a lot of times you don't even need to correct them. You need to disrupt what they're doing so they can think clear and make better decisions. More of this, less of this. And also, if you do these things well, you're going to get paid and all the rewards are going to come flowing down from God, right? Matt, back to your question. How do you get them to focus on a tug? I can't get them to focus like they do on a treat. Well, that's probably just because they have different motivators, right? Just like with people, hey, I'll give you $100 to come help me shovel versus, hey, if you come over, I'll give you 50 dandelions, whatever. It's like, well, okay, I'll take the 100, right? So some dogs aren't motivated by other things. So I guess my point is, Matt, is sometimes when you're luring with things in particular to teach and shape and capture behaviors, you really want to stick to the things that your dog loves, because that's what's going to drive them and keep them motivated and inspired to continue to work with you. So that would be my answer to that. But to answer your question a little bit more, and let's just say in a perfect world, you're using, what I would do if you were in front of me is I would get the ball out, I'd get the tug out, I'd fire him up on it, zing it around, can't catch me if you can, play a little cat and mouse. And if they don't do that, then you're not going to really be successful using a tug for rewards and obedience, it sounds like. But if they do get excited and stimulated and motivated to chase that thing around, you would then put it into your obedience routine. You'd put it under your armpit, put your dog into a heel or a foose. You'd walk forward. The dog would look straight up at the toy because they want it, and then bang, and you break them. So you have to make sure that the dog is motivated by the thing, because you can't motivate a dog to do something unless they want to see it move, like unless they like it, right? I mean, that's what motivation is. I mean, to define that, that's what it is. I want that, right? And if they're like, I don't really care about this tug, it's difficult to then use to your advantage for that work. So that would be my answer, unless you have other context to that. And again, guys, we're live here in the Online Academy. So I'm recording this to put it out on a podcast because I thought some of these questions would be really helpful for other people in other formats. And so if you're here, make sure you answer ask your questions. Monica asks, any tips on building toy drive? Blue is the same. He's extremely food-driven and doesn't seem too interested in toys and won't play tug. This is an everyday question that I get. And I think, again, and my answer is going to be some dogs just don't care. And man, it makes it easier when they have dual motivators, if you will. They care a lot about food, and then they care a lot about objects, because it makes it more versatile. It makes it easier to train in many, many ways. And so there's just the base of some dogs just don't care. They're like, whatever. Same thing with punishment, right? Like, you know, we've gone through that sequence so many times where, you know, Lakota, if I look at her and I go, hey, she'll go, whoop, what do you want me to do? I'm sorry. You know, Burley would be like, make me punk. Right. So the levels of communication, is the same thing with punishment too. And so it's the same thing with rewards is, hey, like with Lakota, hey, I got a Frisbee. Okay. I'll do anything. What do you want me to do? Hey, I got food. That sounds good too. I'm cool with that. Right. So, you know, some dogs are just more motivated by things. So to build drive, what you do is you have to really understand what prey drive is, if that's what we're talking about. And prey drive is really just a dog killing something, really. I mean, in my experience, and if you really think about prey drive, and that's what tug. A lot of the influence is rooted with tug, with prey, catching, grabbing, tearing, ripping, shredding. But some of it is also more interactive and engagement. Like if you throw a chuck it ball for a dog, it's more prey driven than it is interactive, because the only reason why they're bringing it back to you is so you can throw it again. They're not saying, hey, this is fun, I like doing this with you, although they may be having a good time. They would also bring the ball to anybody with the chuck it in their hand. So the game of tug could also be, you know, more tangible than the fetch game. But what I do to build drive is I get into an environment where the dog is going to be kind of bored, and I build drive through a long line and the object. I try to do something with like a squeaker in it to entice the dog's instinct. That's why squeakers are in toys. Newsflash for people who don't know that. Squeakers are in toys because small little animals squeak, and dogs and cats like to kill those things. So, you know, the more you know, you know, people are like, oh, look at this cute little stuffy with a squeaker, and they're like, squeak, 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 and the dog's head's flipping around. That's because they want to kill it. It's like a great white shark seeing a seal bleeding out 50 yards away. They're like, perfect. You know, so make that, you got to make that thing come alive for the dog to chase it. You want to animate it. You know, don't just, you know, people will just...
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
When was the last time you refreshed your bedding? Sleep cooler with Avocado's naturally breathable, certified organic sheets. Choose from GOTS certified organic cotton, linen, or hemp, all made safe certified to the highest standards of non-toxic safety, delivering the ultimate in luxury, sustainability, and style, and a deeper, more restorative sleep. Join Avocado's mission to be one of the world's most sustainable brands at avocadomattress.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Same thing with recall. People will just say, come. And the dog's like, what the hell? I don't want to recall it to any of that. So you got to make the toy fun. You got to make the game fun. Put it on a long line. Zip it around. Make some noise. Make the dog miss it a couple times. Then when they get it, let them win it. Let them possess it. Let them get obsessed with it. Try to take it away and just keep doing it. So that would be my tips on building drive. But I'm not, you know, I have dogs that have drive, but I'm not the master at building drive, right? But that would be my answer. Gozia, regarding the leave it command, do you first apply the correction and then give the command, or do you say the command first and then correct if needed? Great question. Again, context is king here. If the dog lunges at somebody or something inappropriately or dangerously, I'm not going to say leave it. I'm going to just correct them. I don't care. You're not going to do something that's going to potentially hurt somebody else or end your own life. I'm letting you know very clearly that that is inappropriate, and I never want you to do that again. And I want them to be aversive to that. That caused this. Yeah, don't do that again. Yeah. So there's that. But outside of that, when you're teaching the leave it, the way that I have usually seen the roadmap go is with a dog that doesn't know leave it, like a puppy, for an example, we put food down and they're scraping to get to it. And then I just go, leave it, correction. And then the dog stops. They look at you, good, leave it. And then you pay. Now, those are the two ends of the spectrum. If the dog knows leave it, done the way that I just explained it, which I've done very successfully over the years with my personal dogs and, of course, my clients, that's the way I do it, is they see something they want. They've never heard leave it, so of course they're going to go after it. You say leave it, you correct them, leave it, you correct them, and then you pay them secondary to you. And then the dog understands that they can't get what they want when you say leave it and they have to disengage. And if they do, they get paid from you. That's the goal. And so once the dog knows the behavior, the leave it is applied verbally, and then it would be enforced after. And that just goes pretty universally with anything you're teaching your dog. The only time that we're correcting a dog out of context of what they know and what they don't know is if it's dangerous. And again, that's just my preference. If my dog does something that could end their life or harm somebody else's, I don't verbally scold them and pull them back and talk about it on the way home. It's in the moment. Never do that again. I like you too much to see you get killed by this car or whatever. Monica, Blue enjoys fetch. He will bring the ball back to me and will repeat as for a tug. I've applied catch and chase principles, and he walked away from me as though he did take something away, almost become submissive. Yeah, it could be. And again, some dogs just may not like it. Also, I've seen dogs get conflicted with tugging with their owners. They don't have a lot of confidence doing it. I've seen that too, where they find it weird to, they almost feel like they're doing something wrong. And it could be rooted from a time or a place where you've got on to them about, you know, something and you tried to pull it away. I don't know. But sometimes dogs get conflicted about that as well. So, you know, if they don't want to do it, they don't want to do it. You can't force them, you know. Unfortunately, Isabel, my puppy is the same way, but my trainer had me try this and it helped. He loves tug at home, but gets too distracted in public by all the smells. So when he go out, I bring his tug. I have him in the car crate. And when I take him out, and offer him a game of tug. He typically gets very distracted by smells and isn't interested. When he doesn't want to engage with me, I put him back in the crate in the car to be bored, air quotes, for a few seconds to show him that playing with me is more fun than doing nothing. Yeah, that could work. But it's very, you know, it's very subjective. And I know that you know that too. But it's very subjective because I can also see dogs be like, okay, I don't get this game. And then you let them back out, and then they're like, okay, I still don't want to play, you know? But if a dog is truly disinterested in playing tug, I don't think that'll ever, it'll ever work. But it could, you know, for some dogs. It's basically withholding them, forcing them to make the decision that you want, although they would rather not. Part of the life, part of the game. Gozia, how did I teach Lakota the out command? I did it the old Michael Ellis way, where I'm playing tug pretty rapidly. I get really close to the tug, and typically I start off with the fire hose tug, just a small tug. I started when she was like, I don't know, 13 weeks or something. She's a puppy. I get really close to the tug. I kill it. That's what Michael Ellis had said, and that's how I learned how to do it way back in the day. So the tug stops moving. The fun stops, and as soon and you say out, and the dog won't out because they don't know what that means. But the moment that their teeth come off of it because it doesn't seem fun anymore, yes, and then they and then you just release it back and you play with them again. So basically, once the dog outs what you have, you give it to him again. So the out actually makes the fun happen again, and that's how I taught her. It took about a day, super easy, but she's Lakota, so. Let me know if you guys have any more questions, but we're going to get to the next one. Debbie, what is the best way to stop my dog from barking and jumping on the wire at my neighbors? She is also very reactive to people and dogs. And for now, I really can't get this under control. She's 3 years old and has been doing this since she was 6 months. So I'm really not doing something right, and I know it's my fault. Debbie, let me ask you this. Have you corrected the behavior before? Have you ever told her that what she's doing is inappropriate? Have you ever told her that this thing that you're stressed about and that she's causing stress to herself and the neighbor dogs, have you ever communicated with her that this is inappropriate behavior and you don't want it to happen? Let me know that answer first before I jump into my thoughts on that. Yes, with my voice or e-collar. Okay, and what does she do? So, okay, I'll just go into my answer. So when dogs are doing something like fence fighting, and I'm assuming that's what you mean by jumping on the wire at my neighbors, when they're doing fence fighting, this is a very understandable thing. Dogs don't understand properties and what you bought and what's yours and what's theirs. Dogs are animals, right? They eat rabbit poop and kill cute chickens. Like, they don't give a shit. So when your dog gets let outside, they think everything they see is theirs, right? Like, they're just like, this is my yard. And they don't know that that fence or that wire is separating what you have bought and what your neighbor has bought. They don't know that. So then the dog next door is there, and your dog's like, hey, get out of here. Who are you? I don't know you. You don't live with us. This is my house. So this is a very natural thing that dogs go through, and it makes total sense to me. So to me, it's not, how do I stop this? You know, I talk about the stop it syndrome a lot. Dog owners just want to stop something, and it's not about stopping that, because that's an inevitable thing to have. You're not going to tell that fish not to swim. You're not going to tell that fish to not get wet. That's just going to happen, right? Your dog's like, what are you doing here? Get out of here, right? Same thing with my Borble, my Burley. The lawn guy came today. Burley let him know he's there. I'm not going to stop that from happening. That's why I got him, right? So your dog isn't going to just all of a sudden, like, the goal isn't, how do I train my dog to not care about another dog in their yard? Because that's really what the question is. You can't. But what you can do is rely on your skill sets that you've done to handle the situation. That's why anything in life, just like every single person watching and listening to this right now has done this. You went to grade school and you learned your ABCs, you learned the alphabet, you learned how to talk, you learned how to crawl, you learned how to walk. All these things are preparing us for other things. And so if you don't have the skill sets to handle, hey, Tom, I entered the Tour de France the other day and I epically failed and got hurt and sick. And I, oh, really? How long have you been racing? It's my first week. You can't just start that stuff, right? You're not going to be able to stop your dog from doing what dogs do. But what you can do is manage it, right? Realistically, it would be when your dog is reacting to the other dog, it would be a recall, a down, and a stay until the other dog went away. Well, Tom, my dog is always out back, and so is the other dog. Well, that may be just a question of management. Can you put up an extra fence? Can you work on a better leave it? But these are things that have to be done first, right? You can't just stop this from happening. You have to have skill sets. Again, I walk with Burley. The dog is a protective dog. Like, he's the most, one of the most protective breeds I've ever worked with on in the world. And so when I'm out with him and he's posturing up every single dog he sees, I'm not going to stop that. That's crazy. But what I am going to do is I'm going to say, leave it. You're not lunging. You're not barking. You're not scaring these people unless he needs to, right? Unless it's, you know, again, it's like, I'm never trying to take that out of him. The other day, this might be interesting to you guys. The other day I came outside and my son was out front with our nanny. And there was a guy there taking pictures of our mulch beds out front of our house to redo them or whatever for a quote. Strange guy. We don't know him. So I came out with Burley and Burley, he's growling and his hackles are up and he's postured up. And here's this 150-pound rhino looking at him growling deep. And my son's in the front yard. I rewarded him for that. Good boy. Good boy. I'm not correcting him. I'm just pulling him away on his flat collar. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Go boy. And I'm letting them know, that's what I got you for, dude. Anybody comes on my property that we don't know, especially if my son is out front, you let him know that you're here and you scare him. And that's what he does. And that's what he did. And, so again, that's never going to go away. And there's a time and a place where you should allow that and not allow that, right? Like recess. Run, play. Play kickball, scream, spit, I don't care. We go back into the school, sit down, pay attention, be respectful, be quiet. Time and a place. Your job is to teach them because they're animals, like it is for a teacher's job to teach kids because they're kids. Here's when we do this. Here's when it's okay. Here's where it's not okay. If we don't intervene and teach them what's appropriate and what's not, we sit back with our hands tied and go, well, we just hope that it works out. Every single society in the world that's ever tried that has epically failed. Epically, dangerously have failed. So leave it, enforce it, but your dog has to know leave it. Recall your dog, put him in a down, put him in a stay, manage the situation. Goizia, one more question. High arousal. Bibu is currently quite sexually aroused and he's not neutered. And he often directs his energy towards me. Every time I pet him, he gets overly excited and jumps on the arousal state. When that happens, I push him off, stop interacting with him. Do you have any suggestions for what I can do differently? Correct him. He turns around to hump you and you say off. You correct him. Like that's, I know what you're asking and that's a good question. To me, it's you know, pretty common sense. If anytime your dog does anything that you don't like, your job is to teach them what's the same thing we're talking about with the fence, like what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. You're hanging out, your dog's intact. Burley will do that. Where did he do that? He did that recently. Where did he do that? Where somebody said, I like you, but I don't like you that much. Something like that. Maybe it was it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Burley. I don't know. But yeah, he's an intact male. He's got drive. He's got testosterone. His instincts are, you know, all that, right? So when he jumps up and, it was the vet, which is a crazy story that I might just do in a different podcast. Crazy story. but yeah, you know, the guy was manhandling him and touching him, and Burley turns around and starts humping him. Like, what'd you expect, dude? You mess with the bull, you get the horns on that one, buddy. But, you know, I just said off, leave it. I'm not going to, you know, again, it's for me, and that's just my style of, like, I want the dog to sustainably under, I can't stop everything forever, but I can have things to help manage my dog's behavior and have a realistic expectation that when I say, no, you can't jump, no, you can't bark at somebody, no, you can't pull me on the leash, no, you can't ignore, like, these are things that are non-negotiable for me, because I want the dog I want to live a good life with my dog. I don't want to live if I didn't have good obedience on my dog and he didn't respect me, and he didn't know that there was consequences for life and things. I mean, you guys want to know what that's like? Go over to my YouTube channel and type in the Mastiff, the Borbal that I worked with out in Montana. Go ahead and look that up. It was the most dangerous situation ever, and the dog was really well bred, nice Borbal, but it was all the things I just talked about. No accountability, no structure, and it turned into a liability. You can go to my YouTube channel and check it out. I'll tell you what it is. I'll go to YouTube. What it's called is Giant Aggressive Mastiff Goes After Everything. I'm His Last Chance. Check that video out with 3.1 million views of people going, holy shit. Yeah. That's what happens when you let things go too far. Okay, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Thank you for the 1 million subscribers on YouTube. I appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you next week, as always. Have a good night. Bye.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Llegaron los nuevos McCrispy Strips, listos para aventurarse en la mezcla de mayo ketchup, la barbecue que quedó en el fondo de la cajita, Hot Fudge Sundae y en la nueva Creamy Chili McCrispy Strip Dip. Los nuevos McCrispy Strips, ahora en McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.